Well, good morning.
And I too want to officially welcome you to Highland Hills, and I would like to officially say Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers who are here this morning, and especially a Happy Mother's Day to all of the ladies who are here, because whether you have children or have had children, whether they're still in your home or never were, you have had a part in growing God's kingdom and affecting the lives of many people. So this morning, we're going to honor the godly women and the godly mothers here. And I would like to say first of all that I hope Dick will just start humming loudly, and then I'll know. It'd be kind of like those Billy Graham sermons, you know, that you see on TV where, you know, the band starts or the humming starts, and you sort of preach over that for just a couple of seconds. And yeah, I just know to segue into that and just go right into the close of the lesson. But no, that is actually a very good idea. It would, you know, I was waiting. I thought I would lob that one up there and just see if anybody hit it out of the park. And I know my brothers are always there for me. As we talk about Mother's Day, and as we look at it, you know, just back on our lives and think about the women who have affected our lives, today is a very important day. Not only is it a day for the men to teach their children what it looks like to physically honor their mothers, and not only is it a good day to try out a new recipe or to do something special for the women in our lives, but it's a day to look back on how we all got to where we are in our lives. And there's no doubt that if you look back on your own life, whether you're a mother or a child or a father or anyone, if you look back on your life right now, no doubt you will have to find strong, diligent, godly women. That's an absolute fact. There are few facts that I can hang my hat on and say unequivocally that is going to be true every time. But there's something about godly women that they're just in the background of everyone who has a relationship with God. They really are. They're always somewhere woven in the fabric of the lives of those who are kingdom citizens. They're always there making a difference in the lives of other people. And this morning, as we honor mothers, as we honor women, as we honor the godly women, as we honor moms today, it's easy to settle for what's on the surface. It's easy for us to look at the beauty of our moms and of the ladies who are here. And, you know, it's one of the things that there's just a glow, there's an overwhelming beauty about a godly woman who just is just an inspiration to be around. And it's easy to get caught up on the surface, and we can settle for what's there, for the kindness and the gentle words or the frugality of a godly woman, and get all of the practical things from them. We can settle for the nurturing or the patience. You know, it's easy to know that your mom loves you. Dads, on the other hand, we don't always know that. You know, dads are a little harder to read. But godly moms and godly women, you know, their love for you is just so easy to pick up on. And it's easy to settle for all of those surface things. It's easy to settle, you know, when we're honoring moms, we're honoring women, it's easy to say, oh, she was always kind. She was always patient. She was always nurturing and loving, and she was always gentle and there with a listening ear. And that's important. But it goes much deeper, doesn't it? If we'll take the time to really evaluate and really think about honoring the godly women in our lives, yes, those things are so important. Those things are easy to pick out. They're what we notice first. But if we think about the impact that people have had on our lives, this morning I want to challenge the moms and the women of Highland Hills to be more than that. More than just a pretty face. More than just a kind word. More than just a gentle voice. More than just a nurturing support system. And if you take just a moment, you don't have to look very far to realize that the women of Highland Hills are just those kind of people. They are gentle and nurturing. They are supportive and caring. But they are so much more than that. They're so much more. They're more than just a pretty face. This morning, I want to invite you to look with me to a passage. Oh, I forgot that one, yeah. The women of Highland Hills are truly God's women. And that's what we're going to look at in Ruth chapter 1, starting in verse 1. We're going to look at what it looks like to be God's woman, more than just a kind-hearted woman, more than just a frugal mom, more than just a gentle voice, more than just a patient nurturer, what it looks like to be God's woman, because that's what's worthy of true honor today. More, because anybody can be nice. Well, almost anybody. Anybody can be kind and gentle and nurturing, but it's a special woman who's God's woman. It's a special woman who is changed by the relationship that she has with her God. And through that relationship, she changes everything. That's what God's woman looks like. In the book of Ruth, we have an example of some godly women. Now, the title of the book would imply that today's sermon is going to be about Ruth, but it's not. Today's sermon is going to be about Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi. You see, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem of Judah and went to Moab to live there. Now, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. And they married Moabite women, one Orpah, the other Ruth. And after they had lived about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Now, kindness is nice to be around. And patience is something that we all need to experience from people. And nurturing and all of the surface things. But when we look at God's women, when we look at the changes that have been made in our life, when we look at the women that we want to honor, when we look at the women who make up the kingdom, the fabric and the framework of the kingdom of God, we see beyond those things that God's woman is a strong woman. Here in this story, we see a lady who is taken from everything that she knows. She's taken from her homeland. She's taken from her hometown. And she travels with her husband and her two sons to Moab. She travels to a place where she doesn't speak the language. They serve foreign gods. They don't serve the true and living God. So there's a culture shock right in the beginning. And from the story, it's almost as soon as she gets there, she loses her husband. Not too long after that, she loses both of her sons. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us, God doesn't see the need to tell us exactly what it was that caused their death. You know what else is strangely omitted from this story? The account of the grief that Naomi felt. You know what's omitted? No doubt there was a time of grief. But the way that the story is told, the way that God chooses to write this down, it kind of gives the sense that Naomi's life just kind of kept on going. That, you know, she almost didn't miss a beat. Obviously, there's going to be grief. Obviously, there's going to be sadness. Obviously, there's going to be a time of doubt and wonder and nervousness. But Naomi possesses a strength that just causes her to keep on going and to just keep taking care of business. She continues to raise her sons until they're married. She has a steadfastness that even in the event of her son's death, there's a strength there that causes her daughters-in-law to want to continue to go with her. Maybe that was just assumed. You see, my mother was one of those strong, godly women where a lot of life was just assumed. You were just gonna do things that she wanted you to do. There were, as she put it, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And you just do it. So after a while, I got to a point where I just knew there were things I was going to do and there were things I wasn't going to do. And I kind of get the idea that Naomi was this kind of a woman. She was this kind of a strong, taking care of business, doing the right thing, requiring that sort of action and that sort of behavior from those around her. Because it was just assumed. You see, her two daughters-in-law, they had no reason to go to leave Moab and go with her. They were from there. They spoke the language there. They had maybe families and you know, people there, but it was just assumed that they were going to go back to Bethlehem with her. She was that kind of a force. Hey, Naomi says go, and we're going. The kind of a strong woman that you know you're going to be better off with them than without them. If they're going in that direction from their life, I know that's the direction I'm going to go. See, Naomi was a strong woman. And as I look in this audience, I see that kind of women here. That kind of example, that kind of and I will say it, leadership, to where we can follow the example and the lives that they lead. You see women who are well-versed in Scripture. You see women who are excellent examples in behavior. You see women who are worthy of being followed in the direction that they are going. God's women are strong, and they are to be honored for their steadfastness. We have a wonderful example of Naomi here to see the... But as we move on, not only are God's women strong women, but God's women have a concern for all children. You see, Naomi, once her sons died, she had no obligation to these two girls. She had no reason to bless them. She had no reason to care for them. She had no reason to have them tag along as she went and went back to her homeland. She had no reason. And they were free to go and marry and do whatever they wanted to in their own homeland. But again, she just assumed that they would go with her. And she was concerned for them. They were not really family anymore. But she shows concern even when she doesn't have to. So as you look back on your life, when you look back on your days here at Highland Hills, how many times have the women here who deserve all of our honor, who deserve our praise and our admiration, how many times have you been blessed by women here who really didn't have to? Who really had no personal stake in your life whatsoever, but they saw a need and they decided, they took it upon themselves to do for you even though you were not their own. I've only been here for 3.5 years. But almost every pair of shoes I have in my closet, Miss Annie has made sure that I have. You know, I came to Highland Hills with two very special Bibles Both of them my mother gave me. One was at the lowest point in my life. And the other one was the one that she carried every day I remember her at church. And I like to loan it out to people in Bible class and tell them the story of why I have that Bible, and then watch them turn the pages very carefully and then read the notes that she left. But since I've been here, now I have three very special Bibles. One my mother gave me at the worst time in my life. One she gave me after she died. And one that Miss Margie gave me that belonged to a friend of hers that passed away. Miss Margie just wanted me to have that. Now, I'm not related to her in any way other than bound by Christ. But a strong, concerned, godly woman took it upon herself to inspire me by giving me something that I promise you I would go into this building if it were on fire to retrieve. And I can't count the pineapple upside down cakes. And I can't count the phone calls and the cards and the poems that I have received, because the women of this church take it upon themselves to bless those who are not necessarily theirs. Because God's women are concerned with all children. They have a concern for the kingdom. And you see, they know what Jesus said later on. See what Naomi understood thousands of years before Jesus said it. The kingdom of heaven is made of such as these. She was concerned for those two girls. You see, she was concerned for their eternity. She knew that if they stayed there, they had no chance of knowing the true and living God. But if they come back to Bethlehem, to where God's people are, then they would know. Then they could serve Yahweh. They could serve the true and living God with God's people. Naomi had a concern for all children. Not only are they strong, not only do they have a concern, but God's woman absolutely makes a difference. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to ask all of the children to come up front and stand with me on this stage. And by children, I mean, yeah, children's church, but absolutely, come on, Chance and Spencer and Hayden and Lily and Jake. All, if you're here and you don't vote yet, come on up here and stand with me. Y'all just stand up here. We're going to honor the women of the congregation. Carson, what are you waiting on, son? You're big. Did you just meet me? You know I'm going to embarrass you if you don't get up here. The women of this congregation, God's women, have made a difference. Not only do y'all have a hand in creating all this, but even if these don't belong to you, you know, you can pick them out. They can pick you out, the women who have changed their life. You know what Naomi did? She took her daughter-in-law back to Bethlehem. And she changed her life now forever. Ruth is mentioned in the genealogy of our Savior. She took a girl who wouldn't have been mentioned ever again in history, and she made her a fixture because she took it upon herself. She was concerned for her, and she took her with her. You know, here, Hillary, come here for a second. I'm going to talk about one of them, and you know, love it or hate it, this one belongs to me, so I'm going to talk about it. We got here 3.5 years ago, you're never going to be mad at me for this, but I'm going to say it. We got here 3.5 years ago, and y'all know she wouldn't talk to anybody. Would she? But there was a lady here about the same size as her who would not stop talking to her, would not stop going up to her and hugging her. Even when she would pull away, Miss Jeanette would hug her anyway. It's like hugging a porcupine sometimes. This child has been forever changed. Forever changed by her life here at Highland Hills. And there are people that she talks about on a daily basis. And she doesn't even know why, but she just loves them. Miss Jeanette, Miss Connie. And yeah, she loves Mr. Frank, even though she won't tell you. You see, God's women make a difference. Naomi didn't know when she was taking Ruth back to Bethlehem that she was changing the world. And as I look out at this audience, the women here, you don't know how to change the world, but you change the world one child at a time. One godly experience at a time. One changed life at a time. Now we have some flowers that we want to give to the ladies of this congregation. And so I'm going to ask at this time for all of the ladies to stand so that we can honor you. And they're going to come, and kids that your moms are here, you can give them one. But also, there are some that have changed your life that aren't necessarily your mother, but have changed your life. I want you to make sure that you honor those ladies. Honor those godly women who have been such an incredible impact. I'm looking for the people who know. Where's Mr. Bill? I thought I was implying that, but maybe not. But while they're getting the flowers, is Dick humming yet? No, he's not. Okay, we still got time. We have flowers for the ladies here. And some of you guys are going to get bombarded. You have 10 or 15 kids. But know this. The women of this congregation have made a difference. The women of this congregation have not only changed the lives of these kids up here, but have changed the world. Naomi changed Ruth's life, and it gave us all salvation. You have no idea the far-reaching impact of the influence that you have. I'm going to ask all the ladies, if you would please, to stand so that we can honor you at this time. If you would please stand. And when you receive your rose, go ahead and sit down. But from your preacher and from your children, thank you for all that you do. Go ahead. So when you receive your rose, or roses, as it were, go ahead and sit down. Go ahead, guys, and find the women who have changed your lives. Some for the better. Easy. She has one. Okay, now if everyone's got one, feel free to double up. Looked at me like, dude, what are you? And a single rose is, it's such a small gesture for all that you have done, for all that you continue to do, but more importantly, for all that you are. How can we follow the example of one godly woman in Scripture and change the world? Naomi changed Ruth's life beyond this world. She changed her, not only her geography, and Ruth saw more of the world than she ever would. Not only did she change her legacy, but she changed her eternity. Because of the relationship that Naomi made sure continued, no doubt Ruth experiences salvation to this day. All of the kindness and the gentleness and the patience, those are godly attributes, obviously. And they're so important. But as we challenge the women of Highland Hills to continue to be God's women, continue to be that fabric, that framework that makes up the kingdom and holds it all together, my challenge this morning is to stay strong and stay concerned, and in turn change the world. Because a godly woman truly does make a difference. The challenge to the rest of us is to follow their example, to follow them as they follow Christ. We're going to stand and we're going to sing a Common Love. And this morning, I want to encourage you as we stand, as we sing this song, that if there is, I know that we've honored the women of our congregation with roses and flowers, but during the singing of this song is a public display of affection toward those women who have changed our life. If there is a woman who's changed your life that you just didn't get to give a flower to, or maybe if you do vote and you wanted to honor them and just didn't get a chance to, that to feel free to walk over and just give them a hug or stand next to them as we sing this song. Would you do that now as together we stand and as we sing?